We pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Today we consider a text that features two persons, Jesus, the greater of the two, but also John the Baptist, with whom we have much in common. Reading from John 1, verses 15 and 16. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Let's definitely say today, tomorrow, and continually that we have a lopsided relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's consider that lopsidedness by trying to compare, if we can, all that we get from him versus all that we try to give back. We get from God so many gracious gifts, we'd have to spend the rest of the day talking about them all. But let's focus on this, that with many of them, there's a price tag. The forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life was very expensive, paid for with the precious blood of Christ. Now, what do we offer in return? There are some things. Words, your praise, your thanksgiving, your worship, which Jesus does accept. He wants that. He welcomes that. We also do things in devotion to him, which, truth be told, he causes to happen through you. So here's the bottom line. God gives and gives and gives some more, and we take and take and take some more with no possible way of closing the gap. Not even a little bit. Well, I'm glad to tell you and here to tell you that Jesus is okay with that kind of lopsidedness. He would have it no other way. He wants to treat you according to grace. He wants you to receive what is freely given, what he paid for, what you and I never deserve to get but nevertheless receive. He wants you to be on the constant receiving end of an endless supply of blessing. What the Apostle John described in these words, "Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." That expression, grace for grace, we can picture as waves washing up on the ocean shore. I think we've all seen this someplace, at a lake, at the ocean itself. One wave comes up and dissipates into the sand, only to be followed by another one, and another one after that. The waves keep coming to the point that we expect them to come. It would be unnatural if they didn't come. Well, each one of you, every believer worldwide, is like an ocean beach, receiving wave after wave of God's grace. Starting with your origin in this world, the first wave, the birth of your physical life. Then came the second wave, your baptismal birth, the birth of your spiritual life. Day by day, there have been waves of physical blessings to keep our bodies thriving, and waves of spiritual blessings to keep our souls thriving. It would be much too easy to take it all for granted, because it has always been there. Just as waves have washed up on ocean shores around the world for a very long time. Now understand something here. God doesn't bless you this way just to take care of your personal needs. He wants to fill you up and then use you to help somebody else. For example, he fills you up with his word so that you can, when the day comes, teach it to your future children or a fellow Christian in need or somebody who needs to hear the gospel because he or she never heard it before. Right now, you are Christian young people who one day may become pastors or teachers or Christian parents, or at the very least, Christian witnesses who happen to have some other occupation. Regardless of your future calling, regardless of that, you are meant to take up the position once occupied by John the Baptist. Verse 15 talks about John the Baptist. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" You may not realize, but there are several points of similarity between you and John the Baptist. First of all, John identified Jesus as the promised Messiah. Don't we do the same thing in our Christian worship and our Christian witness? John thought of Jesus as his superior, his eternal exalted Lord. We do too. Every time we pray to him, in our devotion to him, in our willingness to follow what he says in the Bible. John had Jesus coming after him. Now we do too, if you think of it this way. We come, and Jesus comes later, on the last day, to meet people face to face. In the meantime, we get to act like John in the wilderness, using the whole Bible, both Old and New Testaments, to point out the Savior and say to other people, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John said that first. He also said about Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John would never let the focus fall away from Christ and land on him. He didn't want that. He knew his own place as the messenger. We have the same place, the same position. We're kind of like the guy who runs the spotlight in a theatrical production. Have you ever noticed that guy? Do you watch him? He sits in the dark part of the auditorium away from the stage, unnoticed by most of the audience, but he has a very important job. He shines that beam of light on the star of the show. That's the way it should be. Like John, we are in the privileged position of keeping the spotlight on Jesus, talking about him rather than ourselves, representing him to a world that is stuck in the dark. Now, this time of year especially, you'll hear people wanting to dwell on negative things. Uncertain times, economic troubles, the aftermath of 9/11 still a problem. Well, in the midst of these human uncertainties that become election issues, God wants you and me to see and embrace His certainty for us. It stems from the cross of Christ. What Jesus did for you shows the extent of God's commitment to your every need. Let there be no doubt that His care and blessing will keep coming, wave after wave to you, wave after wave of grace. As long as the Lord has work for us to do, He will provide whatever we need. And when that work is done, when the time is right, He will call you home. Therefore, as we prepare ourselves to teach in class or learn in class, as we take up the responsibility to carry out our ministry or witness the gospel to someone or help a fellow Christian, we can do these things with confidence in what the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians. "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. Hymn 360, to close, the first three stanzas of hymn 360.